we are going to talk on how good is good enough. I know that we may have touched on this subject in the past, and I know that you may be thinking that it's very common to hear a message of this sort. But there are some things, you know, I've heard it be said, Brother Slade, that sometimes we have to say stuff time and time and time again for some people to understand it. So today we're going to talk on how good is good enough. And this is what I want you to understand, is being good, good enough. And this is something that we all know, that obviously being good enough is not good enough for life in today's modern society. So why do we think that being good enough is good enough to get us into heaven? I'm pretty sure that you've heard people say that if I try my best, won't God let me into heaven? Or doesn't God just require me to be better than the average human? Or how about, don't I just have to live a good life to be a Christian? Or how could a loving God send people to hell? Well, my brothers and my sisters, it was Martin Luther, the reformer, who wrote that the most damnable and pretentious heresy that has every plague the mind of man is the idea that somehow he can make himself good enough to deserve to live with an all-holy God. A Bible teacher used to say, man is incurably addicted to doing something for his own salvation. So let's examine what the Bible has to say about being good enough. I'm going to pull three quick points, and then we're going to get back into the praise and worship. And the first point that I'm going to pull is, God's standard is perfection. In one sense, one can be good enough to get to heaven, but they would have to be perfect. They would have to be perfect. God's standard for entrance into heaven is perfection. On one occasion, Jesus identified the two most outwardly religious groups of people in his day, which were the Pharisees and the scribes, and told his listening audience, he said, "For I tell you, unless the righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." And you can find that in Matthew 5:20. And on another occasion, Jesus said, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." You can also find that in Matthew 5:48. But God's standard never falls short of complete righteousness and holiness. Anything less than perfection is sin. So think about heaven for a moment. Heaven is a place of the no more. No more tears, no more sadness, no more pain, no more sickness, and most of all, no more death. All of those things we find are caused by sin. So the no mores don't exist in heaven, because sin itself does not exist in heaven. Heaven will be wonderful, not only because of what is present, which is God, but also because of what is absent, which is sin. God's standard of perfection is not arbitrary. God does not grade on the curve. He does not say, "Oh, you are close enough," or "You have tried really hard to live a good life." God does not compare. He doesn't say, "Well, Brother Slade, you're better than Pastor Ralph, so you are in and Pastor Ralph is out." Or he doesn't say, "Well, Sister Betty, you better than Sue, so you can come right on in." That would be like trying to jump the Grand Canyon. So what if you jump 30 feet and set an Olympic record, and you'll still splatter in the end? Now, don't get me wrong. For the most part, we're all pretty good. I don't suppose there are any bad Christians among us. I really don't want there to be. But if we were grading ourselves on goodness, we would rank right up there pretty high on the scale. So let's call ourselves Danny or Debbie Decent, if you will. From our perspective, we do everything right. We pay our taxes. We pay our bills. We pay attention to our family, and we pay our respects to our superiors. We are good people, but God sees us differently. God sees us differently. God sees what Brother Slade and myself choose to overlook. For as decent as we are, we're walking through life. We make mistakes. For example, we sometimes stretch the truth. We might fudge even so slightly on our expense report. We gossip about the new employees from our perspective. These aren't big deals, but our perspective does not matter. God does. And what God sees is a person wrapped in mistakes. So let me ask you, is there any sin in your life? If so, I can guarantee you, you're not perfect. You have not met God's standard of perfection. But can I give you something? God has a solution. And God's solution is a pardon. God's solution is a pardon. Fortunately, this is the good news. There's a solution, a remedy to our imperfection. God's solution is a pardon found in Jesus Christ. Here's how it worked. Christ made a single sacrifice for sin, and that was it. It was a perfect sacrifice by a perfect person to perfect some imperfect people. Our sins are taken care of for good. And you can find that in Hebrews 10, 12 through 18, where and you'll find that the Apostle Paul described it this way. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You can find that in 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. When Jesus Christ, God's Son, went to the cross, he took our sins, our mistakes, our evil, and our unrighteousness, and he was the ultimate sacrifice. He was the ultimate sacrifice. R.G. Lee, former pastor of Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee, he was visiting Gordon's Calvary at Jerusalem, where we are to believe that this is the site where Jesus was crucified, and Lee told the Arab guide that he wanted to walk to the top of the hill, and at first the guide tried to discourage him, but when he saw that R.G. Lee was determined to go, he went along. And once on the crest, Lee removed his hat and stood with a bowed head, gratefully moved. And the guide asked him, he said, "Sir, have you been here before?" And Dr. Lee replied, "Yes, I was here well over 2,000 years ago." And you'll find that we have been. We were there because our sins were nailed to Jesus to the cross. Now we must go there to find redemption, to find our pardon for our sin. So when it comes to salvation, when it comes to going to heaven, whether we are more like Hitler with our evil or more like Mother Teresa with our purity, our sins are no longer the issue. The issue is what we do about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the solution to our not measuring up to his standard. Jesus has already paid the price for our sin. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice by a perfect person to perfect some imperfect people. Jesus now offers us a pardon, a release from our sin. I want you to think about it this way, if you will. If a criminal was handed a pardon, that would release him from prison. And the issue is no longer the crime, but rather what he will do with the pardon. If he refuses, he will remain in prison. The question why he is in prison and why is he not out of prison have two different answers. He is in prison because he is a convicted criminal. He is not out of prison because he refused the pardon. Likewise, the answer to this question, why will a person be in hell? Is it because he is a sinner? But the answer to the question, why will he not be in heaven, is because he did not accept the pardon offered by Jesus Christ. Let me see if a story will help us clarify this issue. Many years ago, a young boy shot and killed a man while gambling. In those days, murderers were sentenced to be hanged, but the townspeople were so concerned for the young boy that they gathered a petition asking the judge to pardon the boy. Finally, the judge agreed, but only on one condition. The judge would wear a clergyman's robe and collar and carry the pardon between the pages of the Bible. And as the judge approached the boy, boy's cell, he could hear the young man cursing and swearing at him. He says, "Get out of here, preacher. I don't want what you have to offer." "But son," the judge replied, "you don't understand." The boy said, "I understand fine, and I don't want what you have to offer." So here we have the rejected judge. He left the jail. And later the guard told the boy that it was the judge who was dressed like the preacher. Between the pages of the Bible was an authorized sealed pardon for his release. And when the day of execution arrived, just before they put a black sack over the boy's head, they asked if he had anything to say. And he said to the people, "I am not dying because I killed a man. I am dying because I rejected the pardon." You see, the issue is not your sin. The issue is what you will do with Jesus Christ. Our fault before God is not necessarily our sin. He made us a remedy for that. Our fault before God is rejecting the pardon. And you can hear, I know everybody says, "Yeah, but," and I can hear people say that, and then the question, well, how could a loving God send good people to hell? The question itself reveals a couple of misconceptions. First, God does not send people to hell. God does not send people to hell. He simply honors their choice, as when the judge honored the choice of the condemned boy who was rejecting the pardon. Hell is the ultimate expression of God's highest regard for the dignity of man. He has never forced us to choose him, even when that means we would choose hell. As C.S. Lewis stated, there are only two kinds of people in the end: those who say to God, "Thy will be done," and those to whom God says in the end, "Thy will be done." All that are in hell choose it. No, God does not send people to hell, nor does he send people to hell any more than the judge sent the boy to be hung. This is the second misconception. The word "people" is neutral, implying innocence. Nowhere does scripture teach that innocent people are condemned. People do not go to hell. Sinners do. The rebellious do. The self-centered do. The ones who reject God's pardon are the ones that go to hell. So how could a loving God send people to hell? He doesn't. He simply honors the choice of sinners. So my brothers and my sisters, I want to let you know right now, as I come to a close, that God's salvation is through personal faith. So what must we do? We must, by faith, accept Jesus' finished work on that cross as God's only accepted way to enter heaven. God's salvation is through personal faith in Jesus Christ. We must trust in what he has done for each of us. 10 of the 11 world religions teach a salvation by good deeds. Christianity stands alone with its emphasis on faith rather than works for salvation. The scripture says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast." Salvation is a gift. We don't work for it. We don't deserve it. We don't earn it. We simply trust God for what he has done through his son, Jesus Christ. Grace is like medicine. You can believe a certain medicine will help you, but until you trust it enough to take it, it won't do you any good. Faith is more than believing in God. It is trusting in him to the point of receiving Christ in your life. My brothers and my sisters, I want you to know, as I always come to a close, and I will tell you this, and I love you, and I pray that you will ponder this: the will of God will never take you, for the grace of God cannot keep you. Be blessed, my brothers and my sisters. on today, my good people.